But we're not sure. We're not sure. I think everybody agrees in the first one, the shlokam lishtot meyam, shemei mei hashlokos shlokos. That's
right.
I think everybody agrees with that.
Right.
But one out of three.
Right. Right. Also the oil and the grape juice. So the basic, the point here is, so we're extending, the topic is still the principle that is under application and definition to different cases. What's difficult is defining the exact parameters by which the principle applies to the various cases. But the issue is really still the same as the wine and the oil, olive oil. Namely, that the interaction between human processing and the natural state. And so in Gimel, it goes to the the manner of eating, and the object is still in a sense the same, but there's a manner of taking enjoyment, Now. That could be understood in at least one of two ways. Rosenthal was suggesting that manner of eating could actually go to the issue of whether the object is a fruit or not. And then what is the fruit will be defined in culinary terms rather than in biological terms. And there's another possibility, namely, that may well be true, and that definitely happens by the oil and the wine. Namely, that the even though biologically the juice is a subcomponent of the fruit, and is not really a fruit, but is a fruit byproduct. Since in culinary terms, that's the essential. That's the essential feature of the fruit. The culinary category can supersede the biological category. That certainly is true. But the question is that the only fact? Is that the only parameter being explored here? And there's another possibility, namely that there's another parameter involved, namely even if. Because that has the additional feature, namely that the culinary category overwhelms or takes precedence over the biological category. That has only explicitly been mentioned by the Rambam when the structure, the natural structure of the fruit has been violated, namely when it's artificially separated out a liquid. Which is a component part and has a biological function within the fibrous fruit, when it's separated out as a separate substantial entity. Under such a circumstance, even though in biological terms that is a separating out of a subcomponent, halachically, in terms of an object of enjoyment, we define the pre as it is used by man and not as it is its biological function, structure, and functionality. Okay. But what happens in a case of the shlokos? Is that another case of the same thing? Namely, that the fruit is defined by the culinary category? Or is there another factor here? And that is that even if the fruit has not really changed, because the fruit is extant. One hasn't made the fruit into a liquid. But what one has done is defined the manner in which man gains his enjoyment from that fruit. In other words, a fruit, even though it is a fruit, in other words, the object is a fruit, the person may or may not be properly enjoying that object. And he may be not in enjoyment terms. He may not be enjoying the fruit in the manner that the fruit is meant to be enjoyed. And if a person does not utilize the fruit in accordance with its normal usage, he does not, the hana'ah that he has gotten is not the hana'ah of a fruit, even though the object is a fruit. We saw that also by the heimina. When a person did not eat the flowers in the proper manner, we saw it also by the oil. If one drank oil and one is not enjoying the specific enjoyment of oil, one says a shahako. It's only when it's under, even though the oil is a pri. The mere fact that the oil is a pri is not enough. One must also be enjoying one must be relating to the enjoyment that is there in the fruit. My suspicion, I can't prove it, but my suspicion is that that's what's being extended. Namely, that characteristic which is brought out by the oil, namely, what the Rambam calls in Halacha Beis, Sha'arei lo nehina b'tam ha-shemen. Namely, even though the oil is pri, even though the oil is fruit, unless one relates to the oil in the gets one's enjoyment from the specific characteristic of the oil, then one will say a shahako, because even though one has imbibed oil, one has not gotten the enjoyment, one has not related to its enjoyment in the proper manner. And that's what I suspect is what's happening here in Gimel, is an extension of that principle. It's not an extension of the principle that something which has been processed by man loses its identity of pri or retains its identity of pri, but rather that even if the thing still is pri, if one does not relate to it in its normal manner of enjoyment, even though one has put a piece of pri in one's mouth, one is not related to it in its proper, one has not gotten the proper enjoyment from that object.
No, but that was the main kiddush of yesterday, that really that these things are not defined biologically, botanically, rather conventionally. So if you're in a world that only people eat apples and they don't eat baked apples, and you made a baked apple, so it's a shakol, because you're not eating it shalok derech hanah of kol b'nei adam.
Right. Okay, but not necessarily because that is not a fruit. But rather, in other words, there's two dimensions of that. One is that man, under certain circumstances, actually gets to define the nature of the material object. Namely, this is a fruit, this is not a fruit. That is what happens with wine. That is certainly what happens with wine and with olive oil. And truthfully, it's similar even with bread. That because flour generally would not be still the pre, but in the case of bread, it is. But let's just stick to the simpler cases, because bread is a thing unto itself. Wine and olive oil, in both those cases, man is by the nature of his usage actually defines the nature of the object, even though biologically that's a byproduct. That's one thing. But there's something else, namely, that man also defines within, even if one hasn't defined what the substance of the object is, namely a cooked fruit is still a fruit, but you have not related to it in accordance with its proper manner of enjoying it, even though it is still a fruit, and vice versa. A raw fruit is a fruit also. But you have not related to that fruit. You have not gained from that fruit the enjoyment proper to it. You have eaten it in an improper manner, in a manner which is not conducive to you enjoying it, getting the enjoyment proper to it. And in that sense, it's similar to the oil, which is not put into a vegetable broth, and by the person who is not with a sore throat. The problem there is not that he has thereby made the olive oil not a pri anymore. It is a pri. But I have not been nene b'tam ha-shemen. I have not enjoyed the flavor of the oil. I'm arguing that I can't prove it, I can't refute the other possibility. I'm suggesting, but my intuition is more attracted to the other way, though, to say that's what's happening here. In other words, when you eat when you eat a raw vegetable, which is normally eaten cooked, it's not that that the raw vegetable isn't a fruit or a vegetable. It is a vegetable, but lanena betami yerek. But rather, even though it is a vegetable, you have not, by eating it raw, have not enjoyed the flavor. You have not enjoyed the flavor of the yerek, even though it is a yerek.
So let me ask you, so what's wrong with the guy saying borei pri eit? If he's really eating an apple, but he's eating it shelo kederech
anaso,
right? Well, lo shelo kederech.
That's right.
So why can't I make a borei pri eit on it? I'm eating an apple.
Because
this is who created the apple. I'm being nenet in a bizarre way, in a mashunadika way.
Right.
But but you're saying I'm an apple, so why can't I make a borei pri eit?
So I hear your question.
That's why I went to the more rather extreme position that insofar.
Well, let's take it back a step to the simpler case, and then see if we can answer it there. Namely, in halacha base, why is it that when I drink oil and I don't have a sore throat, it is oil. It is olive oil. Why don't you can ask the same question? Why don't I say borei pri eit on it? But let's ask the question on the essential case.
Right, so he says, because he says, shelo nene betama shemen.
Lo nene betama shemen. But you had shemen. You can ask your exact same question. You
right.
ate shemen.
Right, good question.
Right? Good question. So once we answer this question, I think we'll be able to answer the application to the other case as well.
All right. You're arguing.
Lo nene betama shemen, meaning you're not getting benefit from the taste of the oil, meaning it doesn't taste good. Is that correct, or am I not understanding it?
That's right. You have not enjoyed the flavor of the oil.
Because it's only tasty when it's combined with something else as a vehicle, as an eating vehicle. It's an unusual taste.
Because the case with the apple that Rabbi Rosenthal was talking about, I think, is a lot different. It's same thing like with a potato. If you eat a raw potato, it's not going to taste good, but you might actually get some nutritional benefit from it. But with an apple, you very much do enjoy the taste of the apple. You eat the apple, eat a raw carrot, like you enjoy the taste of those things. You can eat those things
you're not talking
raw
about,
as they are.
Not talking about a carrot. You're talking about eating. He's talking about a case like you ate a raw potato. In other words, it's something. A carrot is eaten raw and it's eaten cooked. He's talking about if you ate a raw potato, that's when you'd say shakal.
Well, I'm not sure if you were to say anything because it's not even royal achila.
What, a raw potato?
Yeah.
You would say maybe if you don't say a shakal.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you say a shakal on a raw potato, but you would say shakal on olive oil?
I hear that.
I mean, the Rambam has these cases.
He
says the same thing by flour, and then you get a shackle on that too. But I'm not sure what exactly the Rambam would define as something which is not.
That's another debate. They're definitely position the whole that you wouldn't make any broth.
But the Rambam doesn't seem to be going that way.
No, he says, as long as your nana,
ate it. It's not antithetical to human consumption, even though nobody does it. It's rare. You ate it. You got some benefit from it. It's not making you sick, you know. It's not poison, so it's a shackle. Go ahead, Mendel.
Is he saying you should make a shackle on olive oil if you drink it alone because it doesn't taste good? I mean,
right.
That's his baseline.
Yeah, that is going to require a little bit of clarification. Even what does that even mean? Lo nana b'shtam Hashem. What does that even mean? Right? That's one of those sneaky Rambams that semantically seems to make sense, but if you think about it, it's difficult to define exactly what that could possibly mean, right?
It makes me think of the case of matzah, where you were wrapping something else in something and eating it, and therefore you were somehow still relating to it as food, and so maybe that's why you have to make a bracha on it.
Yeah, in the sieve,
but you don't
capsule you put it inside the artificial capsule. But you know what? I don't want to go into this too deeply because this is really more of a 7 o'clock issue.
We're heading to a 7 o'clock style.
It's not a simple question. So I'll just leave it at that for now. Whatever the explanation is, whatever Rambam's explanation is for why an olive oil, even though you've got a full-fledged pre, since you are not relating to it in its normal way, the normal person who would drink such a thing would be a person with a sore throat. No one else would drink such a thing, right? I'm suspecting that that's what's happening with the raw vegetable as well. It's not that it's a new circumstance where the fact that, you know, the way you eat it defines whether it's a pre or not. But rather, even if it is a pre, if you don't eat it in the normal way, be it flour that you're eating, be it a potato that's raw, since you're not enjoying the enjoyment which is specific to that object, it's not enough that you eat the object. You must eat it in a way which produces the specific enjoyment of that object, and that's what you're saying the bracha on. That needs more definition why that would be, but descriptively that seems to be what the case is. So that would be I'm arguing that's the same sort of approach that would apply to the cooked vegetable. I hear Eberhard's last point. I can't refute it, but I'm offering another possibility that I think is to my mind seems better. But you know, that's all it is. To my mind, it seems better. Okay. Now, but there's another element, and that is that what happens to this extra water, which you cook along with it. So in that case, it seems that for whatever reason, which is interesting, why the soup that is along with the potato, you made potato soup or you made onion soup or whatever it might be, that is the same as the vegetable itself. If you intended to drink it, why that is, I'm not sure why that is. Then there's the last thing, and that is when you mash up the object, or you extract its juice. So if you extract the juice, that's the same thing as oil or grape juice. That's a extraction of a byproduct. So unless it was made for that, and it has. And the juice is readily there. That'll be a byproduct of shako. So the honey of a fig, it would still be a shako. But the ground fig seems to be a. It doesn't matter that it's ground. It's all there. You haven't changed. You haven't separated out a subcomponent. So the mere fact that you put it into a different shape. Doesn't matter so long as you haven't extracted a subcomponent. Some people might read this to say it's not just that you haven't separated a subcomponent, but maybe it's also because you can still discern that it's a fig. But if it was to be so ground up that you could not, it's not just crushed. You know, the difference between a crushed fig versus a blended fig. If it was a jelly or a paste, you have no idea what it is. It could be anything. It could be a fig. It could be a date. It could be a raisin. Who knows what it was? You can't tell. Then that they might say, you don't say pre-eats. I don't know. It's hard to tell from the Rambam because he doesn't say. He doesn't say. He didn't give an explicit case for that. All right. So I'll leave that there. We're going to have to think about that a little bit further. And we'll go into... we didn't do Dalit. Did you do Dalit?
We didn't do Dalit yesterday, and we didn't do it today.
Okay, so let's read Dalit. Yurako should dark unleash our lake. So if you got vegetables that are...
No, that's our gimbal.
Oh, so that you did do. Hey, Hakanim Hamatukim?
That's it.
Hakanim Hamatukim. So you got sweet canes. So you're talking sugar cane.
Correct.
Shesochatinotam, which you squeeze out. Umvashlin may mayhem, and you cook their the water that comes out. Adshikpet, until it freezes, it solidifies. Vidmelamel,
crystallized.
It looks like salt. So you're talking sugar. You're talking about sugar. It's a clear description of sugar cane. You squeeze out the syrup, you cook it down, and you get crystals, sugar crystals. You're talking sugar. Kol ha-gaonim amru, all the gaonim of Babylonia said, shemvarchin alav bari pri adama, that you say a bari pri adama on this. Some said, "Bari priates." It's bari priates. So they're so, but they both agree that it's still pre. The only question is it an eights or is it an adama? In other words, they might have argued as to whether this meets the criterion of an eights or not, but they don't argue that you've changed it. That it's a subcomponent. For whatever reason, they don't view this as a subcomponent. Or they view it as a subcomponent, but they, for whatever reason, think it's acceptable that it's the essential thing that the cane is made for, and therefore, even though it is a subcomponent, is still acceptable. It goes by its culinary category rather than by its natural category.
That was the goal of that's the goal. That is the intended product of the fruit.
That's the yeah. Right. That's
the fruit. I grew the canes, l'shem, having sugar.
Right.
They call them sugar cane for a reason.
Right. And therefore it would be similar to an olive. So just like an olive is essentially made for the oil, that's its essential function. So too the sugar cane is made for the sugar.
Yeah.
It's a reasonable argument.
I like it.
It's a reasonable argument. But the Rambam isn't buying it.
Well, he's not happy with that.
He's not buying it. Okay. Vani Omer, Shane's a pre. Right? I say that's not a pre anymore. It's not a pre eights. It's not a pre adama. It's not a pre at all. Why? Bain Mvarchan
Alab. What's as far as the, we can explain what's as far as the pre adama as far? Maybe because sugar canes, if you don't cut them down, do they stay year to year?
I have no idea. Yeah, I have no idea what, in other words, is this because it's a secondary usage of it? There's later, further on, there's going to be cases of things that, it's not, in other words, it's not a, even if you say that the, even if you say that the sugar cane is a tree.
Right.
In order to get it be a pre, the pre must grow out of the tree, not be the sap of that tree. Like an apple is not the sap of the apple tree. It's a separate and distinct entity that grows out of the tree. So that might be a machlokas about what constitutes pre-eats. In order to be pre-eats, does it have to be something edible?
It's defined scientifically as a tropical perennial grass that forms lateral shoots to the base to produce multiple stems.
Oh, so it's perennial. So it's perennial.
Right.
But the question
grass.
Is, does it,
I want to call it the grass, but
does it die every year and come back? Does it die every year and come back, or does the grass stay for many years?
That's a good question.
All right. I mean, there could be a few areas of what they'd be arguing about. One is, is it perennial? In other words, if it's perennial and it comes back, because the difference would be insofar as something like a banana. So a banana is there perennial, but it dies every year and grows back from the same spot, you know? It regenerates. Or even if it's a stalk that stays there year after year, there's another issue, and that is that in order to be a pre, it has to be an outgrowth that grows out of the tree, rather than a component part of the tree, a sap, of the tree. It's not the same thing as a fruit that is a separate thing growing like an apple that grows out of the tree. That could be the.
I got it. Once planted, a stand, which is a stalk, can be harvested several times. After each harvest, decaying scent of new stalks, called ratoons. Successive harvests give decreasing yields, eventually justifying replanting.
So if you don't harvest it, will it stay?
In fact, they keep it. They chop off the top part and it produces new shoots, and you keep on doing it. But
okay, so it's like a bush. It's like a bush. You cut off the branches or the whatever it is of the bush, and they have sap in them. So I mean, I guess, according to the Gonim, you would say Brapria 8 or Brapria Dum on maple syrup as well.
Right?
Same thing?
That's what I was going to ask about the maple syrup.
No, because that is a din of maple syrup. You're actually getting, you're just opening a hole into the maple tree and getting the resin out versus cooking. One is just getting the liquid out of it, getting a part of the tree out of it versus.
Right.
I'm not sure. That's a good. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
But be as it may,
everybody's listening got to realize that people have no idea that one of the most complicated areas in Alaska is the Hills of Bruffa.
Yeah.
Because you got to know so much. You got to know what the nature of the thing, what's the definition of a tree, what's the definition of the fruit. Do you go by the biological? Do you go by the conventional? You go by the Dasa Autumn. You go by the there's all these variables shooting around.
Yeah. Let me just finish this, Alaka, because our time is
running. Go.
So he disagrees with the Gaonim. He's like this. I mean, it's true. You only say shackle on it. Why? Lo yet dvash elu akani. The sweet syrup which he calls honey. So you see in the Rambam, what honey is not so simple to always identify. It's a genus as well as a species. It's certainly not always honey, bee honey. That's for sure not. But not necessarily even is it fig honey.
It's a sweet liquid product.
It's a syrup or a sweet liquid product.
Yeah.
An extracted sweet product. Syrup.
It's not technically biologically honey at all.
That's right. Correct. Well, I mean, it's not what we call honey.
Not honey, it's dvash.
It's not what we call honey. It's more what we would call a sweet syrup.
Yeah, correct.
So a sweet syrup, it's just that. Okay, let's call it that. The sweet syrup of these kanim, of these reeds. Shnishtanalia deor, which has been changed by the cooking process. In other words, one boils out the liquid and therefore it becomes crystal. It's changed by the cooking process. Gadolmi dvashtmarim, it should not be more significant. It should not be more.
No, I'm saying it is more. It's transformed more than the syrup of dates, which were not changed. And thus.
It's hard to keep track of his double negatives. But let's just go back to the very thing. Lo yidvash elu akana. It should not be that the syrup of these kana, gadol midvash tomorrow, is greater. And the greatness he's defining is not the greatness of the change, it's the greatness of substantiality. It should be not more substantially pre than the dvash of a fig. Which doesn't need so much processing.
And you make a shackle on it.
Yeah, shackle on it.
So he's saying if you make a shackle on Tavash tomorrow, you call the Chomer Ben Benosh Chomer, make a shackle on the sugar.
Exactly. So therefore, you cannot say that the honey or the syrup of a sugar cane is more substantial and is closer to being pre. Than the syrup of a fig, because yeah. The syrup of the sugar cane requires a massive industrial process to be made into what it is, whereas the syrup of the fig is much, much closer to its natural origins. But nonetheless, it's a shehakel. So how much more so should the sugar be a shehakel as well?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll leave it at that. Perhaps tonight we'll go in a little bit deeper into this process and the roots in oil and the what's the idea of not he wasn't nana harilo nana bishtama shaman. That's interesting. That's an interesting thing. What's that? Okay, gentlemen.
Sure.
Good. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You too. Bye bye.